Yeah, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros, episode 20. The name of the episode is I'm Here to Help and Where Should I Start? What's going on, Lash? How's it going?
What's going on, man? We got a lot to get to. Trade deadline came and gone, and it's already, what, 2.5 months to go before season's over?
Finally, I'm so happy about that trade deadline being over because it was driving me crazy. You know, we spoke about this and we said that there was going to be a lot of, problems with that because we weren't going to see a lot of movement. And boy, we were wrong. Even the guys that were buying were selling. It was kind of crazy. Like, it was definitely unexpected. I wasn't, even thinking it was going to go down that way. And there was movement all over the league. You know, the sellers were trying to get themselves better for the future. The guys that are running in the race right now made some moves. You know, it's not what we expected. You know how it is. You always want the best and you end up with something else, you know. But it's okay. Listen, we're moving in the right direction. And that's what the general managers were thinking at the point where it went down. It ended yesterday around 6 o'clock. I remember, it going on till like the 31st today exactly, but things change, so now the deadline is July 30th, 6 p.m. shutdown, which I'm pretty glad that it's over, because now we can move on and we can enjoy the rest of the season and watch this amazing race that's going on in the AL and now with the wild card. What do you think, bro?
Yeah, definitely. Now but the big guys that we're expecting get traded, the Skew Balls and the Garrett Crochets, all those guys did not get traded. And those teams are sellers, especially the Red Sox. I mean, the White Sox. But the days of tanking so you can get the best draft picks, those days are over now because what MLB did is you no longer – now there's a lottery. So at best, you in order to be in the top three, you have to be – I think it was the top five teams getting the lottery. The five worst records qualify for the lottery. So with that being said, even if you have the best record, it doesn't guaranteed. And so at best, you'll be picking the top, 10 and on. So the days of doing what Baltimore did and Houston and Chicago, where you just be suck for a couple of years, but get the best prospects every year and load up the farm system, those days are over. So that was the loophole that Baltimore took advantage of. So now Chicago said, well, since we didn't trade these guys because no one's going to give us what we wanted, why don't we just get rid of players that we no longer have controllability and try to get prospects that way and keep the guys that we have and try to build up around them and then try again next year and see if they can get a better package. So I think that was Detroit's thinking, all these other teams who have big stars that we thought would get traded. They ended up not getting traded. In my opinion, I think the most head-scratching trade was the San Diego Padres. They gave up so much for Tanner Scott. You better be able to resign him because they give the top – I think they said that they give the top three prospects in the farm system for Tanner Scott. He's great. He was good in Baltimore. The problem with him in Baltimore, he had he's not a flamethrower. He just had controllability issues and stuff, but he figured it out in Miami, so who knows what will happen in San Diego. But I think that was by far the worst trade. Just because they gave up so much for, not much. I like what the Mets did. The Mets, they were smart. They say, we are now a playoff contender. Let's keep the guys we have. Let's see if we can, keep the guys and see if we can keep the boat rolling. So far, it's working. They took 2 out of 3 from Minnesota and all that. So that's good. So I think the Mets are going to say, we'll go for it. And Steve Cohen was right. Everyone thought, I know I wrote him off as a rebuild team, but he said, no, we're contenders. So he knew something that we didn't know. And so the Mets are in the running. So I guess, I don't know, as a Mets fan, are you glad they didn't trade the McNeils of the world or the Alonzos?
Yeah, I'm definitely happy. I feel like we have a shot. We've been playing really well. And, like you said earlier, everybody's trying to bolster their rosters, right? And they try to do it, the best way possible. And it's like, not giving up too much, right? And you just said at San Diego, through the farm for this guy, right? For Tanner Scott, right? So you have to understand that San Diego, they have to live in a division where you have the Dodgers, and you already know how that is, right? So they're always going to win the division. These guys are kind of sneaking into a wild card. They're trying to make sure that they make a push. and they feel like they have a really good shot, and they made some changes. And I feel like they've been playing really well, you know, and I'm kind of scared of them because they can totally, you know, change that National League wild card situation. And I'm really scared of them. You know, last time we went to the playoffs, you know, we got shut down by San Diego. So I like what I see over there. And I like the fact that little brother is trying their best to stay afloat in that division. It's always hard to stay afloat in a division when it comes to the Dodgers being who they are. But you have to understand, it's approximately 55 games left in the season. And the AL and NL wild card standings keep changing on a daily basis. It's a flux, you know. All you see is teams go up, go down. You know, you can't really have a bad week because a bad week will really hurt you and put you right outside that box. So, you know, you have to understand that, you know, these people, you know, the general managers, it's a lot of work for them. And this is why they get paid so much. And, you know, they have to put it together and kind of think, how can I make my team better about, you know, getting rid of so many prospects and getting rid of high-tier prospects, you know? So, you know, the thing about baseball is that, you know, it's a team sport, right? And you wouldn't think that single players could, like, really move the needle and change the dynamic of a team and make a big impact, right? It's kind of like with the Rangers. Remember the Rangers? The Rangers, you know, they had all this great pitching. They had Scherzer, and, you know, when they made the move in the right before the deadline and they picked up Jordan Montgomery, you know, it's funny how he became a pivotal piece of that puzzle. And if it wasn't for him, I don't know, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have a championship. I'm going to go out and say it, right? And then, you know, you look at the Yankees, right? The Yankees made some moves, right? And you would think, all right, that one player isn't going to really make a difference. But, boy, I was wrong, you know? So they picked up Al Leiter's nephew, right? Mark Leiter Jr., right? And he got off the plane, and a couple of hours later, he was pitching in the 10th, you know? Pivotal moment in a baseball game against the almighty Phillies, right? And the Yankees swept the Phillies, which is pretty insane to me. You know, like, Phillies tired, I think. And Phillies, you know, they started off hard, and it's the complete opposite of what happened the last 2 years. They started off slow, and they ramped up, and they, you know, with luck on their side, they were able to, you know, ramp it up towards the end of the season. And now it seems like it's a seesaw effect where it's the other way around, right? And, you know, the nephew of Al Leiter came in, right? Mark Leiter Jr. He comes in the 10th, and he was pretty much lights out. He tossed a scoreless bottom of the 10th to help the Yankees win that game, 7-6, and, you know, in the 12th inning. It's pretty intense, right? And then you have Jazz Chisholm Jr., right? Another guy that's making a huge impression out in the Bronx, right? So he's acquired, right, from the Marlins this past Saturday. He crushed two homers on Tuesday's night game, right? And he hit one in the 6th, he hit one in the 7th. And they were able to win 7-6 in that 12, you know, inning matchup with the Phillies. It's pretty crazy. You know, these two guys just came into the club and they made a huge difference in that game. And, you know, like you said, you know, you always say to me, you know, like, all right, we're going to make moves. We have to make sure that these prospects, when they leave, we still have controllability of the players that are coming towards the other side, right? So Chisholm is going to be around till, you know, 2026 before they have to, you know, pay the guy again. So, and the thing about Chisholm is that, you know, yeah, you know, he's a good player, but now it seems like he's an all-star all of a sudden. You know, when you put that guy in the leadoff position and then you have Soto and Judge behind that, now we're seeing things, you know, they look a little different over there now, you know? And, you know, the thing about Chisholm is that, you know, he brings speed to the club. This is something the Yankees didn't have, all right? So right now at the moment, you know, Chisholm is batting like .249. He has 22 steals. He has 17 home runs. And mind you, 17 home runs at this moment. Before he was traded, he only had 13, all right? So Chisholm became the first Yankee ever to hit 4 home runs in his first 3 games with the team. All right, and the Yankees, they've been around for 120 years, and no one has ever done that, all right? So this guy's already making a difference. And like I said, you know, you would think that one player can't make a difference on the team, and guess what? Wrong again. This guy's making a difference. It's pretty crazy. I know you don't want to talk about this right now, but, you know, these guys are coming for you. These guys are coming for you. These guys made some serious changes, and they want to stay afloat, and they want to battle Baltimore all the way to the end. That's all I'm saying. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. I knew that was going to happen. I'd like to move for Chaz Chisholm. They need to put pressure on the bases. They don't run well, the Yankees, and that's why they got him. They don't. The only guy that can steal for the Yankees is Anthony Volpe, their shortstop. Besides him, there's no pressure on the pitching. They're not to worry about someone stealing. The Soto, the Judges, Stanton's also big. They can't steal. Verdugo's slow. He's starting to fall off a little bit. DJ LeMahieu, he's been unproductive, but lately he just hit a 2-run home run today against Philadelphia, so he had a good game. But you can never count out the Yankees. And to be honest with you, I want it to be a tight race. I don't want it to be just a blowout like last year. It makes it more exciting. It makes it so that every game really matters. And if you're Baltimore, you can't. You know, Baltimore's been in a slump lately, and so have the Yankees. Why both teams are.
That's why it's still close. You know, it's funny. Yeah, that's how it is. But it's crazy. You know, like, think about it. Chisholm is the type of player that, you know, he's an outfielder. He's a second baseman. And they're thinking about, I read it today, they're thinking about, you know, just getting rid of DJ and placing Chisholm on third. So now this guy's like, it makes sense, right? And the crazy thing about Chisholm is that now, you know, you have a utility player that has speed, that can, you know, bat for, you know, good numbers at the top of the lineup, you know. So if those are the first three batters you're going to face, man. You're going to have to pitch, bro. You know, you just can't load up the bases, you know what I'm saying, like in the first inning. It's not going to work anymore, you know. You have to pitch to at least two of them, you know. I don't know. It's just going to be rough. It's going to be rough for the opposing team now. I'm just saying. All right, and going back to that, does one player really make a difference? You know, Tommy Pham, you know, ex-Chicago White Sox now, because he went back home to the St. Louis Cardinals, and he hit a pinch-hit grand slam in his first game back with the Cardinals. How crazy is that, you know? He's had two in his whole career, but he never hit one for St. Louis, which is pretty insane. You know, like, Tommy Pham is a great hitter. I have to say, you know, he's always been a great hitter and a great addition to any team. And, hey, it's happening all over again. You know, this guy can move, transition to a different team, and every single time he does, he's always there and he always produces. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, every one thing, it's funny because Pham was with the Mets last year. Then the trade deadline, the Mets traded him to Arizona, and he was a big piece as to the success in helping them helping the Diamondbacks reach the postseason. And he was good for the White Sox this year, just he was on a crappy team.
Yeah.
And so it was an easy trade for the White Sox. There's a guy they knew. He tends to sign these one-year deals where, you know, he's not, because he knows he's not in for long-term deals. Nobody's going to give him that one-term deal. But he's like this, he's like what I call like the emergency spark plug when you need your team to get going. Put him in, you know, when your team is fizzing, or for example, if the battery, like in the cars, needs a quick jump. That's what Tommy Pham is, and he produces. And it's funny because, like, St. Louis Cardinals are like the Mets, in my opinion. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs just because I said, oh, wow, Milwaukee's good. They got Craig Counsell as the manager. I mean, yeah. No, they got a they lost Counsell. He went to the Cubs. I thought the Cubs were going to be good.
Yeah,
my predictions are completely way off. Milwaukee's the pie. Milwaukee and St. Louis are in the top two teams. Cubs have been disaster. So St. Louis is in the wild card. I think they're tied. There's a three-way tie for that last spot with the Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Cardinals for that last wild card, I believe. But anyway, so that was a good addition for them. They did get rid of they traded some pieces, but they didn't have to give up a lot. One thing I noticed about all these trades with all these teams is a lot of these teams played as smart this year. They didn't have to give up a lot minus San Diego. And they got a decent amount of return. Like, all right. Baltimore, they kind of gave up a lot to get Rodgers, the pitcher. But, hey, you got to give up to get. So it's just the way it is. I liked Norby. He was a good prospect. But there's so many people that it would have been hard for him to get a replacement unless someone got hurt. So that's why they let him go. But either way, it's not the end of the world. But every team that is in playoff contention, they really didn't have to give up a lot of top tier prospects to get, or you know, when it comes to baseball trades in the regular season, the teams that are needing players to contend, they're always looking for a top notch name, big tier name guy. Whereas the teams that are selling, they're gonna sell you, you know, they're looking for prospects. They don't care. You know what I mean? And if you're a seller, like I said, if you're a seller, it's gonna be hard to get all those prospects in return. That's why the Cubs, that's why the White Sox and the Tigers were not successful in trading the star pitchers, because they're just asking for way too much. And a lot of these teams that are in contention, you know, some of them have prospects that, you know, maybe they're good, but I don't know if they're going to be elite level type of good. So, or they know they are and they don't want to get rid of them, like Spencer Jones of the Yankees or Jason Dominguez, you know, those guys. You're like, there's no way I'm going to give that up for a guy. I believe Skubal and, yeah. See, the problem is the guy on the White Sox, he's a moron, in my opinion. Garrett Crochet, he told teams, I'm not going to pitch for you if you don't give me in the playoffs, if you don't give me a contract. So basically, yeah, you just screwed your whole team over from getting anybody, because no team or organization gives out contracts in the middle of the season unless it's their star player. Even then, they don't do that. So yeah, to come in there with a request like that and say, oh, you got to pay me. First of all, look what happened last year with Baltimore. Imagine if they had given all that money to Flaherty. He was awful. They were smart. They traded him. Yeah, it was a horrible trade, but he didn't produce. What happens to Gaucher? He goes somewhere and he poops the bed and he doesn't do it. Now you just give him a massive contract and he's done terrible. So no, yeah, team's like, we're not going to trade for you. And because of that, Chicago kind of maybe lost on improving their farm system because of it. But it's, if you're crazy like them, it's like, well, might as well keep him. I got 2 more years of controllability. No, he's a free agent. So now, just, all right, fine. We'll let you go. And it screws him over, because now, actually, it doesn't screw him. It's got to put more pressure, because now he's got to really be lights out for them so he gets that contract. So if he underperforms on a really bad team, guess what? He's not going to get that contract he's looking for. So it could turn into a big flat egg, but I like what the teams that say, all right, you want to be that way? Fine. We don't want your pitcher. We're not going to give you the farm system. Even if we did give you a farm system, there's no way that we're not going to offer the guy the contract. So this is stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy, because the guy, he's on like innings limitations, because he used to be a reliever, right? And he got hurt, and now he pretty much said, if you trade me, I'm not going to be available for the postseason unless I get an extension. So who wants that? Who wants another team? It's a headache, you know. We're trying to win. We're trying to win here. We're not going to negotiate, especially with 2 months left in baseball. You know, like, it's kind of crazy, you know. But
yeah, we didn't require you to pitch 2 months and then say, okay, we're going to let you sit for the rest of the postseason. That's stupid. Yeah. That's a waste of crazy? Time.
That's a waste of time. It's a waste of prospects. It's ridiculous, you know. But you know, of course, everybody, you know, I feel like the Mets may. Some decent moves, you know, right now in the standings. Like, you know, we were just talking about Hassan Luis. And Luis is a game and a half out of the wild card. And due to today's loss with the Mets, right, we're out right now. So if the season ended today, we wouldn't even be in the playoffs, which is pretty crazy. We're half a game out. San Diego keeps smashing the ball. They're playing really good baseball. Last 10, so San Diego, 8 out of the last 10. Where, you know, we... Like I said, there's a flux on a daily basis when it comes to this wild card on both sides, the American and the National League. So right now, the top three, Atlanta's there, and they're up by one against Arizona, and then San Diego follows. So if the season ended today, Atlanta, San Diego, and Arizona would be in the wild card, and the Mets would be looking in. That's pretty crazy, right? So like I said, you know, you can't just, you know, win one, lose one. And it's crazy because the Mets won the series against Minnesota. You know, but today, I don't know what happened to Severino. He just didn't have it today. And that's fine. You know, say we're human. I understand that. But, you know, all that hard work, and imagine if the season ended today. You know, I mean, listen, it's happened before. We've seen the Mets, you know, all they needed was one game, and they went into a series with Atlanta, and we couldn't win one game to make the postseason. You know, that's pretty crazy. It's happened before, and
I was talking to one of my friends today, and I kind of see the Mets not making it. Like, I have this, you know, because I'm a Mets fan. I already know how things go, you know. And, you know, we're going on a nice little ride. Granted, you know, it's a great thing to be at the park now. And, you know, the energy in the ballpark, the fans are loving it. I'm loving it. But we have to play well the whole way through. 55 games is a lot of games, man. And we have to make sure we stay relevant, and we have to make sure we stay on top. Listen, a couple of days ago when we were playing Atlanta, you know, we beat them in those first two games, and we were the number one seed in the wild card. And then Atlanta won the last two games in the series. And look at us now. We're not even in the playoffs as we speak. It's pretty insane, right? It's pretty insane.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Mets schedule. It's so tough. I think your chances are it's going to get harder.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just going to go over the next 2 weeks. You play the Angels, which is easy. Actually, you have a pretty good schedule. You have a really good West Coast trip. So you should, on the West Coast trip, you have a nine-game West Coast trip. You have three against the Angels. You have a makeup day against the Cardinals. That's an important game. And then you play Colorado. Yes. So you got to sweep. You got to either sweep the Angels or take 2 out of 3 from the Angels, and sweep the Rockies or take 2 out of 3. And then Seattle is a playoff contender at the moment.
Exactly.
So that's the end of the road trip. And then you come back and play the Oakland Athletics, the Marlins, and the Orioles. So the tough series, in my opinion, is the Orioles on the 19th in Citi Field. So other than that, in my opinion, in those games, one, let me see, hold up, 3, 6, 9, you got to go 8-3 because, no, in the 9-game, no, it's a 10-game road trip, whatever it is, 10 or, you got to go like 7-3 or 8-2, basically, on this road trip. That's going to give you a big headway coming when you come back home to face the A's. So I like the chances. If they can win these series or sweep any of these series, in my opinion, you got to sweep either the Angel series or the Rocky series. You might take 2 out of 3 from Seattle, but you got to sweep either one. If you sweep the Angels and the Rockies, man, that's going to be a big, tremendous help because the Cardinals might fall off. You know, Arizona's getting hot now. They're like Texas last year.
Yep.
They got hot at the right time. So now you got to watch out for them. The Cardinals, they improved themselves in the trade deadline. So for the Mets, it doesn't start getting hard until the end of August. I'm looking at the schedule now. The end of August, you got San Diego, the Diamondbacks. You have, and then September, you go into your division play again. You go into the Boston, Cincinnati, Philadelphia's of the world. So September is going to be a tough month. So August is going to have to be your best month. You got to win at least 20 of these games in the month of August, in my opinion, really make headway.
We're not going to sweep anybody at this point. I feel like it's going to be super hard. Okay, look at that. We started after the All-Star break, we went to Miami, right? And we won 2 out of 4. We split that series, you know? It's like, okay, why is that happening? All right. Now, when we bump into Miami again, obviously, you know, Miami has a completely different dynamic. You know, they went super young, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, don't forget that these are all professional baseball teams. Now, the Seattle series, it's not going to be easy. You know, the Oakland series, the Anaheim series, all right, cool. But that pivotal game against St. Louis is mandatory. I'm telling you that right now. If we can take, you know, win the series, fine, but we're not going to sweep anybody. You know, I feel like, all right, let's see how this bullpen comes in. You know, like, listen, Severino's been hot, bro, and he finally fell apart. You know, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not upset.
He did good today.
He did. No, he didn't. He didn't do so well today.
Oh, they won the game.
We lost the
game. No, that's right. They lost it. I forgot. They lost.
We lost, bro.
In his last outing, he did okay, right?
Yeah, he's been doing great, bro. But, well, you know, this is what happens, you know. You win 3-4 in a row, or, you know, you get the decisions, and then you know you have that bad start. You know, I'm not hating on him. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be where we're at now. But you have to understand that, yeah, out of the 13 games since the All-Star break, after coming back, we won 8 out of 13. All right, that's not a bad record. But look what happened. We went from the top of the wild card, and now we're not even in the playoffs as we speak. So something has to give. You know, we have to figure it out. It's going to be wild. That's what it's called, the wild card, right? It's going to be super wild. It's going to go, it's going to fluctuate day to day. And we're going to pray that we're on the right side of the fence when, you know, the season ends. And gaining ground, I feel like it's impossible to gain ground right now because everybody's playing well. You know what I'm saying? And we're scoreboard watching already, and it's getting sickening, you know? I'm watching the Phillies. You know, listen, and it's funny because the Phillies had a great, amazing lead, right? And now we're like 8 games back from the division. And, you know, and Atlanta's there too, but, you know, everybody's playing well right now. Everybody that's fighting for that wild card is playing well. San Diego's scary, I'm trying to tell you. And it's going to be interesting. Let's see what happens. And they have amazing pitching. You know, that Dylan Cease, man, what a guy, bro. Like, he has like 10 wins. He has like 10 wins, I think. He's crazy. He leads the league in strikeouts, bro. You know, like, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, he's 10-8, Dylan Cease. You know, 168 Ks. Ranks number 1 in the league. I don't know. We have to be careful. We have to play every game, you know, like it's a playoff series, you know? It's pretty crazy. But let's talk about your little acquisitions, you know? What do you think, you know?
Yeah, so both.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Baltimore, they got pitchers. They got what I call, you know, second-tier starters. Guys or middle of the pack starters. They're not, you know, a 1-2 punch guys, but they got starters that can be 3 and 4 guys in a 3-game in a 5-game series in the wild card or in a 7-game series in a divisional round. So, you know, they're not big names, but Eflin had a good year last year with Tampa Bay. He was doing all right this year, but, you know, they saw the writing on the wall. They're like, we're not going to make the playoffs. Let's get rid of him. And then Rodgers, they got him from the Marlins. Both of these guys, I liked them because they were smart. They got guys that have controllability. The only guy they have that don't have controllability is Burns. But Burns was also a trade, but he was an off-season trade. But in my opinion, the reason why I think they made that trade, because I think they're going to re-sign him. You wouldn't make a big trade like that. And they probably knew when they made the trade for Burns, the Orioles were not sold yet to the Rubensteins. That's the new owners at that firm group, the Rubenstein group. And by trading for him now, I think Baltimore wouldn't have a trade for somebody they're not going to be able to re-sign. Now, he is a Scott Boras client, but who knows? We'll see. He's having a good year in Baltimore, so maybe he'll come back to Baltimore. I don't know what he's going to be looking for, but if he gets them far into the playoffs, Baltimore is going to need an ace. Like, you know what? Let's sign this guy because it's going to be hard to get another ace. But these Rodgers guys, they're good. They got relief help. They got relief pitcher.
Sir Anthony Dominguez.
And Gregory Soto. Both those guys had awful years at the end of the last year for Philadelphia. They struggled greatly. But who knows? Change of scenery can help them. Remember last year the Orioles got Aaron Hicks, and he had an amazing second half. So I'm hoping that change of scenery. They also got Eloy Jimenez. He's be on the White Sox. It's crazy because 2019, he was having an amazing rookie year. They gave him a bunch of money, and ever since, he's just either been hurt or just underperformed. So that was kind of a head-scratching move. But he doesn't have a position. He's a bench player. Where is he going to play? They don't have a position for him. So when there's a lefty coming up, and that's all he's going to do. Maybe he'll find himself. I don't know. But I was kind of sad they let go of Austin Hayes, but it's what it is. You got to give to get. And that's who in Austin Hayes. But it's what it is. Who knows? We'll see how they do. Eflin did have his first game with the Orioles. He had a great outing. Rodgers hasn't started yet. I'm guessing he's going to pitch against Cleveland in this 4-game series. I'm thinking he's going to go tomorrow. It's not out yet if he's going to start tomorrow, but my guess would be tomorrow. So who knows? But like I said, I was hoping they would go. See, Baltimore's kind of smart. Me as a fan, we thought, oh, go all in. But Baltimore realized, you know, we worked so hard to build up this farm system, you know, get these players, get these strong players. You build it up just to go all in, and then what happens if it doesn't work out? You don't win. Now you lost all those great players, and now it's like, now we got to restart the farm system again. You know, they're just at the beginning stages of being a serious contenders for the playoffs. It's too early for my opinion to say World Series contender. I just think they have struggles. But who knows? These guys that they just acquired in the rotation, they might have lights out, change of scenery. You know, it's hard to tell with Eflon and Vargas because they played on horrible teams. So they didn't get a majority of their wins. You know, they both have ERAs above 3. So that's kind of annoying because it's like, well, if you're giving up 4 runs a game, yeah, Baltimore is a good team. They can score about 6 runs a game. Fine, you might get by. But the problem is if you have short outings, now you're going to be blowing through the bullpen. Orioles' bullpen is a mess. I'm hoping that maybe Soto or Sir Anthony Dominguez can be the closer for Baltimore because they have no faith in Kimbrel. Neither do I. So they got what I needed, which was a starting pitchers and relief. So do they meet the needs? Yes. Was it the guys that you expected? No. But, you know, this is what makes a smart team. This is what smart teams do. You know, this is not, you know, like the teams of the past, like, you know, when the Wilpons owned the Mets, you know, the Wilpons would fall to the fans' demands and, you know, get suckered in by the fans. Like, yeah, we got to sign Cespedes because he's great. And they fell for it and they gave him all that money and he didn't underperform. Or the Jason Bays of the world or, you know, all these other guys. That, you know, I'm just using the Mets as an example. But there are organizations who do and then they go all in. They go all in on a player, and then the guy doesn't even do anything. It's just like, so Baltimore's like, nah, we worked really hard. We built up the farm system. Let's keep what we have. Let's keep developing these guys. You know, it's like, you work so hard, right? For, you know, let's say, you know, you built that house. You work so hard. You want to live in that house you built it. You don't want to be like, well, I built this house by hand, but I'm going to just sell it to somebody because, you know, I don't want it. It's like, why'd you build a house anyway if you're not going to live in it? That's the concept, you know. So I think that's what Baltimore is thinking. So who knows? It'll be interesting. Like I said, is it great moves? It's okay. I'd give their trade deadline moves a B minus at best.
Okay, that's not bad. Listen, you guys are great already. All right. So adding these couple of pieces to fix the rotation and fix the bullpen somewhat. Like you said, you never know what you're gonna get. It's like buying a lottery ticket. All right. You give away something, and then you hope that what you get in return works out for you. It's the same with the Mets. Listen, right now, at this moment, I've become a really big, you know, Stearns advocate. You know, I feel like he knows what he's doing. He has an amazing mind, and he knows how to put pieces together. All right? When, you know, a lot of these guys weren't household names when at the beginning of the season, and now look what's happening, you know? Everybody's contributing, and the pieces fit. All right, so I'm hoping that Stearns still has it, you know, late in the season, and he made the right moves. Listen, Senga came back. He had an amazing outing. He falls apart, you know, and it's funny because it's similar to, you know, Jackson Holliday. You know, he came up earlier this season. He didn't do so well, so they sent him back downstairs. And then, listen, after all those acquisitions you guys got, you bring Jackson Holliday back up, and what does he do today? He hits the grand slam, so... It's, you know, it's all about time and, you know, spacing it out and figuring out what you need to fill the voids, right? So I'm hoping that, you know, Stearns knows what he's doing, and I believe in him. I think that, you know, not selling was a great idea. I think that we have a shot, and hopefully it works out for us. And I think that, you know, the moves that we made, like you said, you don't want to get rid of 20 prospects. I was reading rumors about Acuna, Luis Angel Acuna, you know, going somewhere. And I was like, what are they talking about? We don't want to get rid of that guy. We don't want to get rid of any of our prospects, you know, especially the good ones. You know, if we're going to work with, you want to get something, you have to, you know, find something that's going to fill the hole at the moment. You know, something that's going to fix the situation. But you don't want to go crazy, you know, because it's not guaranteed that we'll make the playoffs, but at least we gave it a shot, you know. This is what I'm talking about. So, yeah, we picked up, you know, we had problems with the rotation because we lost Senga. Christian Scott got hurt. You know, he's still in development stages. He's trying to figure it out. I think he's going to be a great starting pitcher in the near future, but he's not ready yet. It's kind of like what happened to Jackson Holliday when he first came up. He just couldn't figure it out, right? Okay, that's fine. But I think eventually he's going to become that starter that, you know, we all want. And every team looks at us and says, damn. You know, pretty much what Paul Skeens is, you know. Paul Skeens came in and he's ready to – he came in and he said, I'm not leaving. I'm here to stay. So hopefully that happens to Christian Scott. You know, he got hurt. Senga got hurt. And now we needed to find something to work with, right? So we ended up getting Paul Blackburn from the A's. You know, the A's were definitely selling. So hopefully that guy works out for us, you know. He's not so bad. Let's see what happens when he comes to New York and he's playing for a team that, you know, is trying to go somewhere. And, you know, we had bullpen problems and, you know, we had Nunez. Nunez was doing great for us and he ends up getting hurt too, you know. Ottavino's tired, you know. So now we have to kind of like rebuild our bullpen and we have to try to figure out, you know, what their roles are going to be in that, you know, situation. And when are we going to bring them in and in what situations? But listen, I trust Stearns. I think that, you know, he's a genius and, you know, to say the least, right? And I think that, you know, not getting rid of Alonso and being, you know, crazy and just letting him go because we know that he's on a walk year. He's a Scott Boras client too. So he's not just going to stick around and say, yeah, sure, I'll take that. It's pretty obvious because the Mets did offer him some money. He didn't like the number. So he's definitely going to be walking and we're going to have to deal with other teams that are interested in picking up Alonso. And that's fine, listen. But at least we know that right now, Alonso could be dangerous in a playoff situation. And, you know, he's not, you know, an all-star, you know, caliber type player, but he has the most home runs since he joined the league. So we're going to leave it at that, right? And like I said, you know, hopefully it works out for us. We've been playing well. We're trying our best. And we hope this shit works out for us. I hope it works out for us, you know?
Yeah, and then quickly, and as far as the division goes, Atlanta, the only move they didn't do much. The only move they made was they got Jorge Soler. He got him back. He helped. He was a big piece on Atlanta's success in the World Series in 21.
Yeah.
They got him just to help out, rotate him with Duvall in the outfield, Acuña being gone. So who knows how he – or, yes, I don't know if he'll play the outfield or be a DH, but either way – he's a spark in the bat. They have been Miners, Riley, and Olsen. They've been having trouble producing runs lately. This road trip so far is starting out well. You know, they won against Milwaukee today. Both Darnold and Matt Olsen both hit back-to-back home runs twice in the same game. That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty crazy.
They just smashed the crap out of the Milwaukee Brewers. But they come back home now, which is – they struggled. They had a rough road trip, I'm not going to lie. But it's good to see they come home. I might try to go to a game this week. Oh, who knows? But either way, Atlanta's right there. And, you know, if the what killed the Mets – is losing the last two in that four-game series. Because if Mets taking three out of four, that's a bit – that puts a lot of pressure on the Braves. And I was feeling it talking to fans at work. You know, I was talking to one of my friends, and we're like, I think they should sell because they're just struggling. They don't have the pitching. They don't have the bullpen help. And I was like, man, they're struggling against the Mets. And, you know, and the Mets are a lot better than the big when they first placed them this year. But
yeah.
And she's like, I don't know what to do. This is a hot mess. But – they won two out of three, and they got a little spark, and they
there was a four-game series, bro. And yeah. The Mets took the first two, and they took the last two. And
the Mets they didn't just take the first two. They beat them up. So it's not like they just won 1-0.
No, they beat them up. But the funny thing about it is I always say that if you're going to play in a four-game series, you always want to take the last two. I'm going to take the last two and take the first two. You know what? Because this way the standings look a little better, you know? Like I said, after we took those first two games from them, we were the number one seed in the wild card. And look what happens at the end of that series. We're at the bottom of it, you know. It's just funny how that works, man. And you know, Atlanta—they know how to do it to the Mets, you know. And selling wouldn't be, you know, the way to go for Atlanta. Listen, they were able to win a championship without Acuña. You know what I'm saying? They'll figure it out. They're not, you know, they're not easy to run through. It's not that type of, you know, day. It's serious over there. I don't care, you know, how many injuries they have. They're gonna play baseball. And, like, listen, I told you, we won 8 out of 13. It's just – and we went on a 5-game winning streak, too. That's the crazy part, you know. Prior to losing those two games, we won – we had to play the Marlins, right? So we lost, We won the last one in that four-game series. We split that series, but we won the last one. Then we went to the Bronx, and we destroyed those guys over there, right? So that was three. And then we ended up playing Atlanta, winning the first two. That was five. And then we lost two in a row. And look what happened. You know, it's crazy. And then we take, you know, two out of three against the Minnesota Twins, and forget about it. That was a two-game winning streak, and then we lost the last one, and now we're not in the playoffs. It's pretty crazy. But this is how, you know, it's going to be for the rest of the season. 55 games is a short season. That's like a COVID season, if you think about it. All right?
Yeah.
It's a little short race now. Now it's like a little short race, you know?
It went from a marathon to a 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
A sprint.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sprint. And the key thing now going down the stretch is, can your team remain healthy? And that's another reason why I was thinking they should move the trade deadline back, because there were so many teams that were more buyers than sellers that if you had waited two more weeks, you would have been able to see, all right, we know for sure, okay, we're not going to make it. We don't have a chance. Let's just sell, see what we can do next year. But because there's so many teams that are, you know, look at the NL League. They have three teams competing for the third wild card spot right now, and they're all tied with the same record, if not, or one game apart, not even. Well,
yeah, not even half a game here and there.
Half a game. So all those teams are buyers, so it's like, well, what are we going to do? So if you move the trade deadline back, because the thing is think about it. The trade deadline is literally like 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks from post the All-Star game, not even. And so the teams are just starting to get revamped up. So you haven't even played enough series to see, like, all right, let's see, you know, like, for example, Baltimore, they went 1-5 last week. They lost 2 out of 3 to Miami. They lost 2 out of 3 to San Diego. Let's just say they played awful against Toronto this week, and they played bad against Cleveland, right? Now, if you move the trade deadline to August 15th, guess what? You already know, okay, let's just sell. Forget about it. We're not going to make the mistake and get someone, because we already know, okay, things are falling apart. We're struggling. Or you're doing really well. I'm like, okay, we're doing so well. We just need one more starter. You know what? We can get there. But, see, teams like Baltimore and the teams that are in the playoff contention, or the Yankees, you got to ask yourself this question. Do we really think we can make the World Series? And if we get this guy, is he going to bring us there and over the top, meaning win the World Series? And the answer is no. Then don't pull the trigger on the trade. And I think that's what a lot of teams did with the big guys that were projected to be traded, the Skubals and Crochets and all these other big name pitchers or hitters that were available. So I think if you move the trade deadline to middle August, you have more teams that can really, you can really look at, reassess yourself, like, we're really not contenders. Because right now, it's hard to tell who's a pretender and who's a contender right now, because everyone thinks they're a contender because that second half just started. You know what I mean? You've only played, what, 6 games since the All-Star game? Maybe 9? I think it's 9 games. You can't, it's hard to get a sauce. You know, you can't be like, all right, we're for sure. But you get a month in, that's what they should do. Make the trade deadline a month from the All-Star game. So if the All-Star game is July 12th every year, August 12th is now the trade deadline. That gives you a month to see how your team does. If in that month you have a great first, you know, if you do well in that month, you'll be like, okay, we're contenders. Let's buy. You know what? We're not contenders. Let's just sell. Or we're contenders, but we know we're not going to get it, that we're not going to go over the hump even if we acquire this guy. So let's just see where the wind takes us and just go for it. But let's not break the bank just for the what if. You got to know for sure. When you trade for a big player like that, you got to know for sure. I know for sure that I'm going to make the World Series.
No, but
the Texas Rangers know that they're going to make the World Series? I don't think so, but they had a good idea because they had the star pitching and the offense. That's why they made those trades.
No, but you can't say that. You can't say that. Because, see, I understand what you're saying, right? But now, you know, you have to break up the season, right, into, like, parts, right? So you have the first half. And, you know, it's not literally a first half. It's like, you know, two parts of the season. Because, you know, you got the All-Star break, you get a week off, right? So getting up to that line at the All-Star break, you just say, all right, how are we looking? Are we looking good enough? Or do we look like we can, you know, get somewhere? So you have, at that point, you have an idea of what your team is capable of doing. Because you go through ups and downs through the season, right? And you get to that halfway mark and you say, all right, I think we have a shot. We've been playing really well. Yeah, we had a hiccup here and there, but for the most part, we've been playing well. And then you have that second half. That second half is a little shorter than the first half. And in that second half, you know, you're thinking about, all right, where are we struggling? What do we need to fix, right? So you want to be able to fix that as soon as possible and plug the holes. So this way you can go into that second half, that short season we just finished talking about. So you want these guys to say, all right, we plugged the holes. We were decent already, and now we should be a little better, and we should be able to get over the hump, right? And then once you get to the playoffs, right, remember, listen, I'm a guy that says, all right, you know, back in the day, a couple of years ago, I used to say, man, if you spend all the money, right, and you have all the biggest stars, you're guaranteed. And you know that's not true now. That is not true. All right, the Dodgers always spend a lot of money. Yeah, guaranteed to make the playoffs. The Yankees used to spend a lot of money all the time, right? And they were guaranteed to make the playoffs. But that doesn't mean a guaranteed championship, right? So you kind of have to, like, reset. So once you get into the playoffs, whether it's a wild card situation or, you know, you're number one in the division, that means nothing. Because now you have to reset and kind of, like, start all over again. You know, because you have to have that kind of mindset. Because you can't say, yeah, we spent the most money. We won 102 games. We won the division. And nobody can beat us. That's a lie. Because now the stakes are a little different, right? And when you go into these series, it's a short series, you know what I'm saying? So, like, every little thing you do in that series counts. Everything is pivotal. Everything is serious, all right? You make a mistake, you throw the wrong way, your pitcher goes out there and he's not doing well, and you keep him in for too long, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's completely different from a guy that you say, all right, you know, I'm playing a four-game series against these Marlins, right? We're supposed to beat them mathematically because we have a better team, but that's not the case in baseball, right? So now you're saying this is the first game of the series. I don't want to implode, my bullpen because it's the first game of the series, and we're going to have to use these guys in the bullpen a whole lot. And the opposing team is going to see this bullpen multiple times over this four-day course. So you don't want to do that. So you keep this guy in. You keep your starter in, and you let him suffer and hurt his ERA for an extra two innings, and they get another five runs on you. That hurts the pitcher, you know, because he loses confidence. Yeah, you saved your bullpen, but for what, though? You can't do that in a playoff series. So I like the fact that it happens right after the All-Star game, because this way you can plug your holes and figure out what's wrong with your team and try to fix it so you can move forward and go into the second half. It's the reset. It's the reset. It's the reset for me. And then as soon as you hit the playoffs and you make it, no matter how you make it, you have to reset again and say, all right, how are we going to attack this team that's in front of us right now? And every time you get to the next level, you have to reset again and come through with a new plan. You know, because with all the tape that they're watching and all this stuff, they, you know, you have to reinvent yourself every couple of, you know, steps. And this is why I think that it's okay, you know, for these guys to, you know, have the deadline and for it to be so close to after the All-Star break. I think it's, you know, a moment in the season where things need to change. You know, you see how every team in contention made moves because they know. Just because, you know, you're good doesn't mean you can't be better. But that's just my opinion, and that's why I love this show. Because, you know, you have yours. I respect your opinions. But, you know, I hope you respect mine as well.
Yeah, no, that's good. I do like your opinions. You know, there's, you know, you viewed things different than I do. And that's a good thing. It'd be boring if we both had the same views or ideas.
It would be boring.
That's boring. That's not how you, the show would be boring. Hey, you know, no one would listen to the show if we all agreed on something. It's like, that's not what it's about. No. The only time you want to agree on something is if you're working on something to complete a task. That's when you need to be on the same page. So we're working on a project. We need to get it done. We're going to come to agreement on how to do it together the right way. You know what I mean? When I'm like, well, I'm going to do it this way. Well, you should do it that way. Then that's the problem. But in a show like a talk show like this or a podcast, that's what radio hosts do on sports talk shows, you know, on ESPN and all that. You know, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith of the world. You know, that's what they do. They, you know, Shannon Sharpe's, that's what they do. They don't go on and say, hey, I'm going to have the same opinion as you. Well, what's the point of a talk show if you're not going to have differences? Anyway, so it's I can't believe it. Season's almost coming to an end. I'm kind of sad because I know I've kind of lost love for football. Football is just not the same as it used to be growing up. Baseball, yeah, the baseball season is long, and it's hard when your team is not competing or just not in it. So it's hard, you know, to stay with your teams. I know for years you felt like that. Oh, the Mets are terrible. Why am I watching? This is stupid. But now, you know, now they're here and the results are there, and the, you know, years past, I think the Mets would have just tanked and just to forget about it, and the Wilpons would have not made this the change they needed to. They would just stay stagnant and just said, well, you know, whatever. But the new guy, Cohen, knows what he's doing. And so I think he knows something that we don't know. And if the Mets make the playoffs, that'll be great. And they didn't have to give up a lot to get to the playoffs. You know, if they see for the Mets, if they make the playoffs, that's a winning season because no one predicted them to exactly. win Listen, the playoffs.
It's already, you know, it's already a win. You know why?
Yeah.
Still watching, and I'm still happy, and I like what's happening. So it's a winning season for me already because this far out into the season, I'm still interested in what's going on. All right, I can't remember the last time that happened. It's not because I'm doing a baseball podcast and this is our first season. It's not about that. It's about it's interesting baseball. I get to actually tune in and say, this team is doing well. I like what's happening over there. I'm still going to games. You know, this late in the season. And I say this late in the season because, you know, the Mets usually, you know, they poop the bed really early. Listen, it almost happened to us. And then all of a sudden we had this spark and we turned it around. And listen, the stadium is packed these days, you know, and we're doing well. And it's fun to be in that situation, you know. Even if we don't make it, you know, we had a good run. And it was a fun, exciting season for me. You know, I enjoyed it. And, you know, they tank and they fall apart. You know, I still have your team, the Orioles, because I picked those guys to make it all the way from the beginning of the season. And I definitely don't want the Yankees there. And if they do make it, you know, it's going to be a battle. And remember, if one makes it and wins the division, the other team is going to be a wild card. And if they end up fighting in the playoffs, that's going to be even more exciting. So I have stuff to look forward to. But I would love for my team to be in it too, you know. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, there's going to be so, in my opinion, based on the NL division, it looks like there's going to be, at least in the playoffs, there's going to be from one of those teams in the NL divisions where three teams are represented from one of those divisions. So you might have three teams. You're definitely going to have three teams from the NL East, and you might have three teams from the NL West represented in the playoffs. Same thing. No, it's not like that in the AL, because in the AL, you'll probably have two teams in the East.
Because Boston is fighting for that wild card, right?
Boston, true.
They're in it. They're in that race, bro. And then you have Baltimore and the Yankees. So you're going to have three coming out of there for sure.
You have one coming out of the Central in the AL Central. And the West, actually in the West, it's a three-team race because you got Texas, Houston, and Seattle all vying. So you can have at least three teams from multiple divisions where you have three teams represented from the one division.
Definitely, because look, Atlanta, the Phillies, and if the Mets make it, that's three right there as well, you know? And then, you know, the Dodgers are going to make it. San Diego can make it as well, you know? So it's going to be interesting. And Arizona, is it Arizona? Where is it? No.
They're the third wild card spot. They're tied.
Yeah, they're exactly. So, listen, it can happen. It's going to be interesting to watch. It can definitely happen. You know, so coming down to it, we're coming to the end of our show. So, you know, we're going to give our awards out, you know. Our pitcher of the week didn't cease. Everybody that watches baseball knows what happened. He pitched a no-no, went 9 full innings, struck out 9. And he's 10-8 now with a 3.50 ERA. And he, like I said earlier, he leads the league in the Ks. He has 168 Ks. Pretty amazing. And then our hitter of the week, last week we had Jordan Alvarez, who went for the cycle. And this guy this week, man, Tampa Bay's Brandon Lowe, 4-for-4 with a home run, 2 doubles, 2 walks, and 3 RBIs, beating Toronto 13-0. Insane. That's just as good as that cycle. Listen, I don't know. I kind of want to say that this guy hit better than that guy for the cycle. if you think about it.
Yeah, it's pretty close to it. That's pretty good.
Two walks, three RBIs. Yeah, that's pretty close to what that guy did. But, you know, of course, you know how hard it is to, you know, hit for the cycle. But Brandon Lowe, that's pretty crazy. So he went up six times, bro, and he got on base six times. All right, that's pretty
basically
crazy. Yeah, basically, because, you know, my dad always says a walk is a hit. So he did that twice.
Well, getting up, I think, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I agree with it. I don't know if it's not a hit, but it gets you a player on, you get a man on base. On base,
exactly. It's not an out. Yeah. That's for sure. It's not an out. So it's a hit.
No.
That's not an out. If you get a man on base, you know what I'm saying? So if I come up to bat and I have a good eye and I don't let the pitcher beat me and I get on base based on his mistakes and this man on first with no outs, and the next guy's up to bat, guess what, man? That's a hit, bro. I know what you're saying. Technically, it's not a hit, but, yo, if you got a man on first with no outs based on a walk, yeah, listen. That's how you win games. You know what I'm saying? That's the other aspect of the game where, you know, you have to be savvy and you have to be patient, right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know?
Definitely got to be patient.
You got to be patient. But check this out, though. I have a question for you, the trivia question of the week. It's a Baltimore Orioles, you know, watch trivia question. I don't think you're going to get it, but you never know because you're a genius. So here we go. Which Baltimore pitcher won 25 games in a season? And I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to tell you right now, wrong.
It's not him.
Exactly.
Oh, and you know what? Geez. You know what I'm gonna do for 25 you? Games. Wait, don't give me any hints.
No, I'm not gonna give you any hints. I'm not gonna give you any hints, but I'm gonna give you three chances to guess. Okay.
Well, the first guy I was gonna think of was gonna be Mike Mussina.
I knew, and
but
like I
it's
said,
not him. So my next game would be either Jim Palmer or Eric Bedard. I don't know.
Nah, you're wrong. This is before your time. But I figured that since it's an amazing stat that you would probably know it, you know. But the guy's name was Steve Stone. Sounds like a wrestler to me. But
nope. Yeah.
But Steve Stone.
Uncle Steve Austin's cousin. Yeah,
exactly. You know. But 25 games, right? 37 starts in 1980. That's insane, right? 37 starts, he wins 25. That's crazy.
Well, I didn't know that. I started following the Orioles in the late 90s. You know, like I said, my first ever baseball game was an Orioles game. I remember it to this day. They played the White Sox. This was like in the – maybe it was early 2000s. It was probably early – no, it was – I don't know. No, Cal Ripken wasn't playing anymore, I remember, because they had it was when they had Melvin Moore, B.J. Sarf, all these other guys. So it was in the early 2000s, I want to say. 2001, 2003. That was my first game in Baltimore, and that's how I became a fan. But anyway, yes, I don't remember him.
Yeah, that's a while ago. But anyway, that's an amazing feat, though. But, you know, we're coming
to the show.
And I just want to say thank you for showing up and, you know, listening. And I think we had a good one today. It was pretty decent. And good luck. To both of us, we're going to need it. And have a good night, guys.
Later, bro.